hearts and minds to the word you would share with us this day. Help us to remember not only the story, but the power and the meaning in it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So it was really hard yesterday as we were downtown in Union Park not to see some connection between what we were doing and this story of Palm Sunday. So this event, this coming into Jerusalem and the sending the folks out of the temple, for many has been thought of as kind of a spontaneous thing, something that just happened. Jesus and his disciples were heading into Jerusalem for the Passover. They were going down the hill as all the other pilgrims were, and, you know, they find a donkey and they put him on it, and suddenly everybody's cheering and waving palms, right? And yet, I can't help but think that there was a little more planning to all of this. Most of our Palm Sunday scripture is about getting the donkey. Do you notice that? There's only a few verses about the crowd coming down and what they were yelling. Most of it is making sure that the disciples go in and get the donkey, and there seems to be some foreknowledge by the people who own the donkey that Jesus is going to need it. Moreover, when they go and look in the temple, Jesus could have run them all out that day. Now, we're told it was late. Perhaps that meant they were tired. Perhaps that meant there wasn't that much going on in the temple at that time. But I think Jesus went in to look over the scene for the next action. His next action would be in the temple. And there he would drive out the people who were selling the things the pilgrims needed for their sacrifice, for the holy days. But things that people were selling at incredibly high prices. Kind of, you know, when you go to the stadiums today for a hot dog, right? You know, it makes it near to impossible for people, poor people, to enjoy. And the same was true in the temple. It was nearly impossible for some of the poor to participate in the sacrifices because they could not afford the items for offering, the doves and such. See, I believe, that these were actions planned by Jesus to confront the people in power about their injustice and violence. This first action coming down the hill and into Jerusalem was kind of a mockery of what the Romans had probably done earlier, either in the day or even the week, when they came in the other direction with all of their equipment and soldiers and horses and, you know, showing off their power and their strength. Jesus mocks them when he comes down this hill on a donkey with just the people to receive him. He calls into question the power that the Romans are using to keep people in their place. He's disrupting the status quo. He's saying this power, if it is not just power, is not legitimate power. This is not the power of God. The power of God comes in humility and service and love. Now, I'm not sure that the Romans are paying a whole lot of attention to what Jesus is doing coming down this other hill there. I'm sure they're in their, you know, lovely, tired homes and stuff, happy to be in Jerusalem, maybe a little concerned about, you know, too many pilgrims and stuff. But the people are aware of Jesus' actions. And in fact, I think the people might be encouraged. Now, the disciples and the people are sometimes confused about what it is that Jesus is bringing to them. They call, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," like David. They're looking for a fighter, for a sergeant, for a leader who's going to destroy the Romans. So they're happy to jump into this protest, right? They're happy to jump into this, save us. And yet Jesus has another idea about how this is all going to come about, right? Jesus is not confused that his actions are in fact confronting people with power. When he goes into the temple, it's not no longer the Romans that he's confronting, but it's the religious leaders that he's confronting. It's the religious community that he's confronting about their own willingness to participate in this injustice. So you can see how yesterday's activities might have connected for me with this Palm Sunday's event and then the event in the temple, right? Because what exactly were we doing in Union Park and all over the country and in Washington, D.C., but calling to task those in power for their violence and injustice, right? So I want to take a moment, because several of us were down there, to share just a bit about what we experienced while we were in the midst of this sea of people. So, Jim, have you got something you could share? Nice and loud. Aaron stepped out. Doug, would you like to share something about your experience down there? Okay.
I'll use this mic because I tend to be so soft-spoken. Talking a little bit about what Debbie was saying with regard to the Romans. Romans tended to rule through proxies. They ruled the empire through proxies. So Herod, for example, was a proxy king, but he reported to the Romans. And just to give you a sense of how the Romans reacted, there was another proxy king who was under Roman rule, and this king was offended by a neighboring king. And so this king said, I'm going to gather my troops and we're going to invade this other country. And the Roman council came and approached him and said, we don't care for you to do that. Don't do that. And the king said, well, I will gather my advisors and I will give you my answer about what we will do tomorrow morning. And the Roman council borrowed a spear from one of the soldiers, and he walked around the king dragging it in the dust to make a circle. And then he said, no, I will have your answer before you step out of that circle. That's how the Romans regarded anybody who was going to suggest that they wanted to do something that the Romans didn't care for. So the Palm Sunday procession, where people were yelling out, here comes somebody in the name of the Lord, was not something Romans were really fond of, because the Romans had their own gods. And they recognized that the emperor, who I think was Tiberius then, Tiberius would have been hand-chosen by the gods and would be a god himself eventually if he wasn't already a god. They didn't want to hear about somebody else's god welcoming people into town. Similarly, the Romans didn't like hearing, here comes somebody in the name of David, because David was a king in a military rule at the time when Israel was at its zenith. They would have regarded that and these as clear evidence of protest against Roman power. And so that's why I think, as we're often called, we're called to do things that we don't necessarily like doing or necessarily find convenient to do, but we're called to do that if we're following the path of Jesus. Now, I will say that going to protest against violence in the street and school violence probably isn't the most difficult thing to do in the world because there are very few people who are in favor of it. And so there weren't big anti-protests saying, we want more violence in the streets. But there were a lot of people there who care about the issue, and as Jim said, who live with the issue. For example, if we were going to close an elementary school in one part of Elmhurst and then make and have the kids go to a different elementary school in a slightly different neighborhood, for most of us, that would be an inconvenience. Well, my kids have to go a little farther. For the kids who were in the crowd and the kids who were talking at the event, they told us, and it's true, that that is actually life-threatening for them. If you live in one neighborhood and all of a sudden you have to go into a different neighborhood, you are crossing invisible boundaries that none of us would necessarily see, but they see it because the people who run those neighborhoods, the gangs that run those neighborhoods, don't like interlopers. I never worried about my kids wearing Converse All-Star shoes to York High School, but that could be a death sentence if you venture into an area where the Latin Kings use this as a gang symbol, and they would see the star, the five-pointed star on your Converse All-Stars as a direct affirmation of the Latin Kings, and if you are in a different group from the Latin Kings, your response to that is, I'll shoot you. And so this was a venture for us into a different world, one that we don't live in, but one that we should be aware of, and then one that we should be working to change. And that's what I think the Palm Sunday experience calls all of us to do.
So I was pretty clear yesterday that our call is to speak out against the violence that's happening in our communities. And Elmhurst may have bits of violence here and there, so it may not feel quite as urgent for us, but for the young people that we heard at the gathering yesterday, this has been going on for a long time. They've been living in war zones for a long, long time. As Doug said, many of them had friends or family members who had been taken by bullets at some point or another. And when I think about Jesus marching into Jerusalem with his disciples, allowing them to say, Hosanna, save us, coming in the name of the Lord, Jesus was trying to say to the folks, there's a different way for us to move forward. And it doesn't have to be the way of violence and injustice. And the reality is that all of us participate in it, whether it's through apathy and not caring, or it's through some sort of need to have my guns kind of thing. Now, some this morning might say, we don't need to hear about this politics in church. But I assure you that what Jesus did on Palm Sunday was political. Jesus was bringing the kingdom of God, the reign of God, into Jerusalem. And it was surely going to be in conflict with the Romans and even the religious authorities. They had become these people who held their power through fear and violence and injustice. And Jesus was threatening that with a new word. With good news about what God was calling for, what God was breaking in to this time and place. Yesterday, we heard that through the voices of young people. There wasn't a one on the stage that was probably older than 18 or 19 that spoke. And every one of them is not calling us to just rebel, which, you know, teenagers usually like to do, right? They're calling us to work for peace and for equity and for safety. They're calling us to ban assault weapons and have reasonable gun laws and background checks. But more than that, they were also calling for the services needed to heal these communities, counselors and social workers and healthcare workers to be present in these communities. There's a lot being put out there in studies and workshops these days about the trauma that young people experience when they've been in the midst of some kind of violent event. Our children on the south side of Chicago and the west side of Chicago have been experiencing these traumas over and over and over again, and we don't have the people in the schools or the communities that can attend to them. Now, I say we don't have them. The reality is we do, but the kids don't always have access to them. So as we think about Jesus confronting the powers of his day, and not just the powers of his day, but all powers of injustice and violence, I'm reminded that as Christians, we too are called to do that. Now, Doug says it's not so hard to get up and go downtown for this, which was a very peaceful and organized event. But I want to say yesterday morning at whatever hour it was, I needed to be thinking about this. I was starting to think, oh, is it going to rain? You know, how many people are going to be down? It'll be too crowded. How am I going to get there by car or by train? You know, I was coming up with all kinds of excuses about why I couldn't participate. Luckily, I had arranged to meet some people here at the church, and so I couldn't get out of it. I had to come. But not all of us are able to do those things, to go downtown and protest. Not everybody came out to wave palm branches as Jesus coming down the hill. Some were fearful. Some were not physically able. Some were caught up in other things that they needed to be doing. These actions, these public actions are important. But it really is what happens next that is of the most importance. Will it cause us to act? Call our legislators to work on making sure kids get the care and attention they need after such violent acts. To be people who speak peace, not only to our children in Sunday school, but to our neighbors. The kids said, this is not just a march. This is a movement. Many have said that about Christianity. I think we've gotten stuck. And it's time to move again. Amen.